May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. How many of you have heard the story of stone soup? No? Well, good, then it won't be repetitive. In the story of stone soup, there is a town that is experiencing a famine. There is not enough food for anyone to eat. So a member of the town decides that he's going to make soup for the whole town. And having nothing, he takes a large stone and puts it in the boiling water. And he just stirs it around, and stirs it around carefully, because it's a big stone. And people come by and watch this man stirring a stone in a pot of hot water. And they're baffled by what he's doing, because certainly doesn't seem like soup. Well, as people are gathered around him, he says, you know, this soup would really be enhanced if I had an onion. And somebody in the group surrounding him said, I have an onion. And he said, you do? Could you donate it to our soup? And he says, surely, and runs home to get it and brings it back. And the onion is chopped up and put in this great pot of soup. The man continues to stir. He said, ah, I know what we need. We need some salt. And somebody says, I have salt. You do? Could you sprinkle some of your salt into our soup? And they say, yes. They get the salt and they sprinkle it into the pot of water. It would be even better if we had a little pepper too. And somebody says, I have pepper. I have pepper, let me go and get it, and I too can sprinkle something into the soup. But you know what would really make this taste wonderfully? If there was just a carrot. And as you can guess, someone in the group gathered around the pot said, I know where I can get a carrot. Obtains it, and that too is cut up and put into the soup. Of course, what's soup without celery? So someone finds a stalk of celery with leaves, and that too is chopped up and put into the soup. And on it went, ingredient by ingredient. People started to bring from the little that they had. No one had enough for a whole meal. But with each person bringing from what little they did own or what little they could find, suddenly a nourishing broth was cooked. And before you knew it, the whole town was able to feast on this scrumptious soup that everybody donated something to. Today's gospel lesson is the very famous story of Jesus' feeding of the 5,000. The 5,000 was a military term, and it usually referred to 5,000 men, 5,000 soldiers. So when the term 5,000 is used, it's not counting women, it's not counting children. So we can assume that the crowd was probably at least three times 5,000, or maybe more, depending upon how many children there were. Jesus has just been told that his forerunner, his cousin, John the Baptist, has been beheaded. And when he hears that news, he finds that he needs to go off by himself to pray, to meditate, to think on what has just happened and what this will mean for his ministry now. Now that John is gone, Jesus must now increase. So he goes in a boat to be secluded. But when people hear that Jesus is in the water in a boat, they come flocking to the area where he is. Now, Constantine's mother, Helena, called the place where this happened Heptapagon, which means the place of seven springs. It's a little bit south of Capernaum. So as Jesus comes ashore from having been on the Sea of Galilee, he sees a great crowd. And even though he's mourning and he's pondering what's next for him, all of his thoughts take a back seat to what now is before him. A crowd of people in need. A crowd of people who have brought many sick for Jesus to touch them, to pray over them, that they might be healed. This took the whole day. And now evening is approaching, and Jesus' 12 disciples come to him and say, "You know, it's getting late, and there's no place here for people to get food, and they've got to be hungry by now. So judging by the fact that the sun is going down and going down quickly, we think you should send the crowd away so that they can make it to the villages and buy food for themselves." Now, mind you that Heptapagon was generally a place of pilgrimage, a place where people came to rest and if they brought food with them, place to eat that food. It was kind of a rest stop along the way on their journey. So Jesus says, well, they don't need to be sent away. You give them food. You give them something to eat. And he says, what do you have? Well, we have 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But that's not going to go very far with this crowd. Jesus tells the crowd to sit down on the grass. And he takes the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, looks up to heaven, blesses and breaks the loaves, gives them to the disciples, and tells them to give it to the crowds. And the next thing we're told is all were filled. All had enough. And not only that, but there were leftovers. There were 12 baskets full. A basket was generally what a soldier carried to carry all the things they needed to go into battle. The disciples used these large baskets that soldiers generally carried and collected 12 baskets full of remnants of the bread and fish. And all had enough. This is the only miracle story found in all 4 Gospels. Jesus' feeding of the 5,000 was an important enough story that all the authors, all the writers, felt it was important enough to share. So how does this speak to us? Well, how did this miracle happen? Was it a matter of the bread and the fish just multiplying in front of their very eyes? Could be. Or was it more like stone soup, where everybody had something? Everybody could donate a little something to this meal until all of a sudden there was enough that there was a great feast for everyone there. Either way, it's still a miracle. Either way, there was an abundance for God's people. Either way, food was shared, food was given, food was received. So there are many takeaways from this. First off, when we are grieving, when we do need space, when we do need alone time, we can follow Jesus' example and take it. And yet, there is one thing that supersedes alone time. And that's the need of another human being. Jesus saw the crowds, and despite what he was going through, despite his thoughts, put that on a back burner and addressed the needs of those who were before him. Sometimes that's exactly what we need in the midst of our grief, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of hard times. It's to get involved with others, to be with people, to see somebody else's concerns as more important than ours. Sometimes that's the most healing, the best thing we can do for ourselves, not to mention helping those in need. But another takeaway is that when we are in need, there is always enough of whatever it is we need in Jesus. Jesus blesses whatever gifts we have and whatever gifts others have, and Jesus brings those together so that there might be blessings abounding. We might have a very special gift. We might have a musical gift, a baking gift, a gift of knowing legal matters. We might have any number of gifts. But our gifts in and of themselves only go so far. But when people with all kinds of gifts come together, like in this congregation, suddenly we find that whatever it is we need, we can find among the gifts of the people gathered. Whether it be food, whether it be funds, whether it be some kind of special gift, when we come together, we share what we have, and all are enhanced by it, and God is glorified in it. This pandemic has been a time when, for a while at least, we had trouble finding what we needed. Thankfully, things seem to be coming back to the stores, to the shelves, and we're able to obtain items we couldn't in the early months of this disease. But one thing that helped to get us through was the fact that people would share of whatever they had so that all had enough. They shared masks, they shared gloves, they shared health care, they shared law and order so that everyone was kept safe. This story in our gospel reminds us that we are never without. We need never be afraid, because God knows what we need. God blesses what we have. And God sees to it that we are never without, but are indeed granted those things for life. Amen.